I'm Karen Given. Right now, Rachel Balcovic should be in Tampa, Florida, working with a Yankees minor league affiliate as the first female full-time hitting coach for a Major League Baseball organization. But her first season on the job has been temporarily suspended by the pandemic. She's taking some of this time off to reflect on how she got here. Reporter Alex Schroeder has the story.
Rachel Balcovic has been playing sports for as long as she can remember. She's been coaching them forever, too, or at least since middle school.
You know, I was like the girl on the team that would tell everyone to show up early and we would do conditioning before practice. And I would, you know, the coaches in high school would give the post-game talk and then, like, I would give a post-game talk on top of it.
It's no surprise, then, to Rachel, to her former teammates, to her high school coaches, to her family members, that she's the first woman to be hired as a batting coach for a major league organization. But for the rest of the world, especially a lot of the sports world, it's been a different story. It took them a little more time to come around. It's something Rachel had to get used to.
I just, like, it was a hard realization of, like, okay, if somebody doesn't want to hire me because of my gender, that's probably just not a human being that I want to be around anyway.
Rachel played softball in college, but that's also when baseball entered her life, in two different ways. Her boyfriend was a pro prospect drafted into the Dodgers minor league system. Meanwhile, Rachel started a master's degree program in kinesiology at Louisiana State University. There, she worked as a strength and conditioning coach for the Division I sports teams at LSU, including the powerhouse baseball team, which was fresh off a national championship.
So I was learning a lot there and kind of burgeoning my own career, but I was also just getting this wild fascination with the minor league system and the development of younger players and how they enter the system and where they go.
After graduating from LSU, Rachel got an internship with a low-level Cardinals minor league affiliate, the Rookie League Johnson City Cardinals.
I went from 110% intensity to, like, not so intense and very quiet and no fans. And I would say 95% of the players I was working with did not speak English and don't have any idea what SEC football or baseball or softball means, and they don't care.
Some of the players Rachel worked with were as young as 18. Some came from college ball, but many had just left home in the Caribbean or South America.
And so I showed up day one and I ran, or I thought I was going to run the stretch just like I ran it at LSU, and that went horribly. There was no structure. There was no, like, and I would say something and it's like, I know this is not the first time they've done a lunge. They know what to do, but I'm a new coach, I'm a girl, and I don't speak Spanish, so they're going to take advantage of that, just like any smart teenager does.
So Rachel came up with a plan.
I basically, the second day, showed up with all of the dynamic warm-up phrases written down on a piece of paper, and I led the stretch in Spanish, and it went much better. And like, basically, they kind of, I think, were like, oh, dang, like, we're going to have to actually listen to her.
Since that second day of training with the Cardinals, Rachel has taught herself Spanish.
I think it did help me, especially as a woman, to have something to relate to them.
Rachel was named 2012 Appalachian League Strength Coach of the Year. So she had a master's degree, she had Spanish, she had worked with one of college baseball's premier programs, and now she was Strength Coach of the Year. But when her internship ended, the Cardinals said they didn't have a job for her. Rachel's next stop was Phoenix, where there are about 15 low-level minor league teams. In December, in anticipation of the upcoming season, she applied for open strength and conditioning positions at about 10 of them. She heard back from none.
And so I picked up a waitressing job, and about midway through spring training, I got a phone call from an organization, and they said that one of their guys had quit. And they were asking if I was still local and I was still interested in the position, and I, of course, said yes. Interviewed a couple times with their coordinator. He said, you know what, you're our girl, I really like you, you're phenomenal, overqualified for this job, like, we're lucky to have you, I'll call you in a couple of days, we'll get this process started with paperwork. Well, I never heard from him.
Rachel found that odd. She followed up, no response. 3 weeks passed. And then, finally, she got a call. It was the same strength and conditioning coordinator.
And he's, like, really apologetic, but he said, you know, I'd really like to hire you, but I'm not going to be able to, and it's because of your gender, and I am horrified by this. I apologize. He said he respects women. He wanted to hire me, but he couldn't do it, and he just wanted to be honest, and he was like, I want to let you know what you're up against.
Rachel had two immediate reactions. One, she was surprised because that's illegal. Two, she was actually grateful that he was honest with her because now she knew the truth.
And he was like, well, it also gets worse. And I thought, how could this possibly get worse? Because you just told me that you discriminated against me. And he said that he had taken so long to get back to me because he had called all of the other teams that he knew had open positions. And they said that the same thing, that they had gotten my resume and that it just wasn't going to be possible because of my gender.
Rachel was in disbelief. What more could she do? But she says she never considered taking legal action.
Because I wouldn't be sitting here on this phone call if I had taken legal action. I wouldn't have a job. Yeah, I think a lot of women understand that, but harder for men to understand. Like, why wouldn't you just sue them? And it's like, well, any person who's been oppressed or discriminated against, and RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, said this, is you got to be deaf sometimes so that in the long run you can make a bigger impact. So I understood that I had an opportunity to open doors for other women. And if I didn't do it, I wasn't sure of who else would come behind me. And I wasn't sure of when they would come.
Rachel says it didn't even occur to her to stop trying. She actually just got more determined and more creative for the next round of applications.
And I was on the phone with my sister and kind of discussing how I was going to apply for jobs. And she said, well, why don't you change your name and see what happens? And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, change your name to a guy's name and see if you get responses.
Rachel did just that. On her next round of applications, she used the name Ray Balkovic.
R-A-E. And it worked. Really quickly, I got a phone call from a number I didn't know. I was kind of out and about, and I just answered, not thinking too much of it. And he said, can I speak to Ray? And I was like, I just was like, oh my gosh, it worked. So I said, this is she. And he kind of like, there was like a shuffling of the papers on the other end. And he was like, oh, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I had the right name. And I just thought, well, there's only one way to say Ray. You just were surprised that it's a woman. So I was like, well, this really isn't a good time, but I'm really interested in this position. Can we talk tomorrow? He said, yep, no problem. I'll call you tomorrow. Never heard from him.
Rachel followed up with a call and an email. Still nothing. Finally, Rachel got an internship with a White Sox affiliate in Arizona. It paid $30 a day. Between that and her waitressing gig, she barely made enough money for gas. And when the internship was over, there was, once again, no full-time job waiting for her. Rachel figured she'd have to go another year without a legit baseball job. She was preparing to move to Boston with no housing plans to work unpaid in a facility there. And then, the Johnson City Cardinals, where she had won that Strength Coach of the Year award, came calling with a full-time job offer. It was the break Rachel needed.
I was pretty desperate, and I was hired as the first ever female strength and conditioning coach in the history of professional baseball, and definitely the first ever coordinator. And then the next day, I overdrafted my account because I was so broke.
But things were looking up. Rachel was now responsible for overseeing 10 male strength coaches. And over the next 4 years, Rachel worked her way up in the minor league strength and conditioning ranks. In 2016, Rachel joined the Houston Astros organization, where she started working with several hitting coaches who also had backgrounds in kinesiology and strength and conditioning. She started thinking she could become a hitting coach too. But this would be an even bigger leap for Rachel. Most hitting coaches are former players. Of the 30 that currently serve MLB teams, only two never played pro ball. Just like when she had taught herself Spanish, Rachel once again went way beyond what most would do to chase a new challenge. She spent a year and a half in the Netherlands, getting another master's degree and training with some of the world's top researchers in human movement science and eye tracking for hitters. It put her on the cutting edge of the analytics work that more and more ball clubs are incorporating. Soon after she returned to the States, she heard from a fellow Houston Astros alum, Dylan Lawson, who is now a hitting coordinator with the New York Yankees. Eventually, he offered her a job.
I'd like to say it was just one day out of the blue, but it really wasn't. It was a continual conversation that developed over time.
On February 1st, 2020, Rachel Balkovic became the first female hitting coach for a major league affiliate when she started with the Gulf Coast League Yankees.
I remember rolling into the parking lot of the complex, and I'm walking past the building with the Yankees logo and all of the championships listed, and a Yankees uniform is hanging in my locker, you know, and really the thing that truthfully comes to mind is reflecting on, like, what would my grandmothers say about this?
Part of Rachel's new job is pitching during batting practice. But having grown up playing softball, it hasn't been easy to adjust to throwing a baseball. Her players don't seem to mind.
If I throw a strike, they're like cheering me on, you know, they're like, yeah, that's right, you know, or like I'll throw a strike and a guy will take it and they're like, what's wrong with you? Like, swing at that.
Rachel and the team had about 6 weeks of training together before the coronavirus forced everyone to leave. Currently, she's staying at an Airbnb in Utah while she's waiting to return to baseball. And she set up a GoFundMe campaign to help with COVID-19 relief. Rachel adds $5 of her own money every day, and every week she donates to a different cause, food banks, medical supplies.
After we were sent home, I just kind of felt helpless, and I was like, wait, I'm not helpless. I can do something.
So when Rachel agrees to share her story with media outlets like Only a Game, she asks for a $10 donation to the GoFundMe in return. It's an unusual arrangement journalistically, but these are unusual times. Rachel has raised about $5,000 so far, and she's been practicing her pitching during this downtime. At first, she was throwing against the fence at a nearby Little League field, but then one day Rachel told her Airbnb host what she does for a living and asked if she could throw batting practice for her host's 3 baseball-playing sons.
This mom was just like beside herself. She's like, wait, I'm sorry, you coach for the Yankees and you're staying in my Airbnb like apartment on the back of our house?
Imagine how she'll react after hearing the rest of Rachel Balkovec's story.
That's reporter Alex Schroeder.